God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. A few years ago, people started to tell me, you need to meet Robbie Walden. And more people said, you need to know, well, who's Robbie? Oh, he's an Army vet. He was on an Army vet. He was injured in combat. Oh, cool. Yeah, I've got a lot of friends who are vets. I'd love to meet him. Yeah, he does CrossFit. Oh, cool. He's a CrossFit coach. Cool. And he set up something called ChristFit. What's that? Well, it is a donation-based gym that is designed to bring the word of God to people who wouldn't otherwise see it. Oh, cool. I need to meet him. He's also a deliverance pastor. Oh, well, wait a minute. Now, that's weird. Deliverance pastor. Now, the more I study the Word of God and the more I spend time around Christians and the more aware I've become of the spiritual war we're all in, the more I'm convinced that we need deliverance. It seems to me that it is biblical. So I brought Robbie on the program to talk about the success that he's had with ChristFit and what it's done to bring people to God and to save souls. We also talked about the topic of deliverance. And I would love to hear what you think about this, your views on deliverance as a whole, deliverance ministries, and deliverance pastors, etc., your experience with this. Please email us at thetoddhermanshow.com. Go to thetoddhermanshow.com, or you can do it at afr.net. Just toddhermanshow.com is easier. This is part of the conversation that Pastor Walden and I had on my program. I encourage you to watch the discussion at youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. So it's a great testimony, and I think you told me it's 60 people been saved.
60-something.
Yeah, and through Christ for it, and I'll have to come for a workout there one day. With Robbie Walden, and it's from that stance that this battles you've been through as a combat veteran and someone who's wounded that way and has served our country. Lots of spiritual wounds we talked about last time that you've been through. We have, the Bible goes through these three tenses of we've been saved through justification. We're being saved. That's the process of sanctification. We will be saved, the process of glorification. Mm-hmm. And so I accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior, Messiah. I act that way. I abide. And sometimes abiding is hard, and sanctification hurts sometimes. But the more I read God's word, the more I see us being warned about false teachers and about going astray and about the heart growing cold. And I believe, and I know this is very controversial, I believe we can decide to say, hey, you know what? I'd rather not have the free gift of salvation. I'd prefer to have the world. So I'm going to pursue the things of the world. Thanks very much, but no.
Yeah.
I don't think people do that consciously. So I've begun thinking about the way the enemy works on us. My understanding is, if you look at this from a deliverance perspective, we have all sorts of areas in our body and our soul. We may have given our business to the Lord. We may have given our parenting to the Lord, but we may be holding back on personal relationships or, I like to gamble, so I'm not going to give that to the Lord. And our body is like a series of, it's like a hotel. And my understanding is that a demon can say, hey, you know what? You just gave me permission to enter that room. Might be a sexual room, might be a business room, might be a family room. Do I get that right?
Mm-hmm. So this is how I explain deliverance. And again, this is one of those topics that is controversial in the church, and it shouldn't be.
Deliverance is controversial. Right? Why?
I think people don't want to believe it.
Okay.
Maybe taboo. And it's only in the Western church. You go to the Eastern cultures, they're doing it everywhere. And in fact, because they lack things like medical and so forth, they rely heavily in the spirit. That's why they go into witchcraft. And because they know witchcraft to be real and it works, in many cases, they will not come to God unless he shows his power on display in the first place. What I have found, and I think in this church, in the Western church, right, we're very tangible. I think we can be very pharisaical. We We chase knowledge, right? And it's all this substantial surface-based knowledge instead of in the spirit. We are in the heavenlies. We are at a war, right? He tells us we are in a war. I got shot in Iraq April 7, 2004 in Samaria, right? And he used this as a metaphor with me one time. He said, even though I wouldn't have been shot, I came back with PTSD, night terrors, blown eardrums, you name it. And the mental stuff, I attempted suicide in 2014. I had so many teammates that have have committed suicide, right? Because we're being tormented. And now someone would say, yeah, because you weren't a Christian though too, right? Because many believe that a Christian cannot have demonic attachment of any sorts, right? Well, there's three types of demonization, because it's really demonization. There's possession, oppression, and attachment. Possession is for a non-believer. Right. And because I cannot be delivered in the first place unless I am a believer. But there is oppression and attachment, and we are in a war. And if we weren't such a heavy prize to the demonic, then they would just leave us alone at that point. No, because there's something they can kill, steal, and destroy while they're here. But the thing is, I want everything Jesus Christ paid for and bought on that when he purchased me on the cross. Which means I need to walk out everything, the full Great Commission of Mark 16, for example, right? Which part of that is deliverance. Salvation and freedom are two different things. If I commit adultery on my wife right now today, let's say I had an affair, got the woman pregnant. There are physical and spiritual consequences, period. I think anyone using common sense would say, well, absolutely, right? The woman gets pregnant. Now my kids, my stepchildren are upset with me. Let's say Yvonne does forgive me and she lets it keep rolling with us, right? But she's got insecurities, unforgiveness situations, you name it. And all these things just stockpile and compound pile, right? And cause just enormous problems. Why? Because I gave the demonic spiritual authority over me. I broke God's commands. They work off of legalism.
Wait, the demons work off of legalism.
Absolutely.
So they see this covenant that we've been given the gift of forgiveness, redemption, and they see this covenant, and they're experts in this. Mm-hmm. So they're expert,
they're smarter
little
than me.
Slimy little snaky little weasel lawyers. Mm-hmm. And so they're weaseling, and they're looking into the covenant and saying, okay, wait, Robbie, when you went and had that affair, you gave us permission now to not possess you because you've got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you. You go to Yvonne, you say, hey, this happened. She forgives you. But then the demons are like, yeah, but dude, you gave us permission to be here. Now we're here.
Because I sinned. I broke. After every miracle, almost in the Word of God, when Jesus performs a miracle, he often says, now sin no more. Because sin is one of the reasons we become oppressed, attached, even sicknesses. We see in 1 Corinthians 11 with the communion, Paul clearly says, many of you are sick and even have fallen asleep, which in the Greek meant dead,
right?
Because you have sinned against God.
Did he mean spiritually dead at that point? Because he's speaking to people.
It was a physical death,
okay.
Right? So he was accounting sickness that we have and even death for some people because they had taken communion wrong, showing that there are repercussions, there are curses, there are in our disobedience. We love to talk about the obedience of God, right? And when we are obedient to God, we receive blessings, prosperity, and long life. Now, of course, when you say the word prosperity, a lot of people like to go, all right. But that Hebrew word for prosperity, if you go to Psalm 1:1-3, what it clearly talks about and summarizes the word of God's promises, really, for obedience. Prosperity means to stand in the river of overflow. So imagine this gigantic river just consuming you, right? It doesn't just mean or necessarily mean or focus on wealth. It just means in general, right? But on the left hand, we don't talk about this in the church, is curses for disobedience.
Okay, so let's talk about curses here in a second. You said demonic attachment.
Mm-hmm. Attachment and oppression.
Okay, so oppression, I think that's a self-explanatory word. You have demons who are holding you down. They're in your ear. They're tempting you to do wrong things. They're speaking into you that you don't matter, that God doesn't love you, that, hey, you know what? It's only a small sin. So they're doing that. They're oppressing you. They're holding you down. They're trying to separate you from God. Right? God's up here and they don't want you looking at him. So distract, depress, distort. What is demonic attachment?
So it's, again, I want to clarify, even of the three, the antidote is the same for all of them. Jesus Christ, right? That's the main thing. So it's demonization. So I hate breaking them up, but it's we'll just call it torment. It's the chatter going on in your head. When you're talking to yourself, you're actually having a conversation with the demon. It's a one-sided conversation, right? It's not It's not of you. It's not, we're supposed to have a sound mind.
Okay, but you don't mean that when I'm in a workout, like I was doing a long shipper the other day, running and rope climbs, and I got halfway through and I was talking to myself, trying to talk myself out of completing it. Like, well, halfway is pretty good.
It could be not, right? Because I don't think
a demon's worried about me not finishing a workout.
Not necessarily. And I'm not going to say that he is or isn't, right? Because we are called to crucify the flesh. Right? The flesh, the last thing the flesh wants is for you to crucify,
complete that workout.
Complete that workout.
Okay, that's
so even if it's just the flesh speaking, which that does happen, right? Because the flesh works for Satan. It's of the world. That's why we have to be born again, born into spirit.
Yeah.
But there is a demonization. The demonization doesn't want you to complete anything that Christ calls us to do. 1 Timothy 4:8, for physical fitness has some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promise for the present life and the life to come. God says he will destroy those who destroy the temple. Right? The Western church is so heavily oppressed. Did you know that Christians are committing suicide at higher rates than the civilian world? Pastors in America are committing suicide at high rates. Why? Because they're supposed to be the freest people on earth and setting the example of what it means to live for Christ. It's because they have not accepted the freedom God has in deliverance work. Because when we sin, we open up the door to the demonic. They have this ability to now oppress you, attach to you, and cause wreak and havoc, right? And the ones that don't believe in it and aren't wanting, it's because they've never experienced it from a clean and clear vision, and they've never been in a room with real deliverance happening. And it's the same things time and time again. The two largest problems in this oppression attachment vein that I deal with a ton is unforgiveness. And fear.
Unforgiveness and fear are the two biggest problems, most common that you see.
Who has dealt with that before?
Unforgiveness and fear?
Even right now, sometime, not in this moment, but right? Unforgiveness and fear. Now, trauma, memories, right? There's a spirit of grief. The Word of God is very clear of that. So my wife and I are in grief. We've had to set limits. We've had wise-filled pastors come talk to us about these things, and we've taken it very serious. Because the enemy will disguise in the grief. There's a spirit of grief.
So wait, you have a demon coming along and saying, and you think you're in grief, but there's a demon of grief.
You can go from one form of grief to an unhealthy grief,
okay,
right?
Right.
And when you bite that, you've given them permission, right? And what we are doing in deliverance is, it's kind of an investigation, if you will, okay, right? And we are finding what's going on in your life, because we've all lied and we've all believed a lie, right? And this is how I look at the Word of God. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. So when I hold my Bible, I think I'm holding Jesus in my hand. The Word became flesh, bearing grace and truth. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father with him. So if he is the standard of truth, then that means anything outside of him is not truth. Which means this microphone, if I asked you, is this black? You'd be like, true. I'd be like, no, it's fact. That's how I look at it, right? It's fact. It's not truth, because Jesus is truth.
Yeah.
Our conception or idea of what truth is has to change. And that's the problem with mixing with the world and not keeping in the biblical vein and context that God has, because I think we can drag ourselves to areas without understanding.
Yeah.
Deliverance is clearly commanded. Clearly commanded.
I want to explore that more, and I want to explore some of your mentors, because one of the questions I have, Robbie, is who delivers the deliverer? And I want to make sure when I'm dealing with a pastor, mm-hmm. let's say I decided to go through a deliverance process with you. Do you have spiritual mentors and deliverance mentors? Can you name any of them?
So from an overall context, my senior pastor, I get discipled by, I meet with him. I meet with several of the elders from my church. One of my very close friends, he is the head of our deliverance, team in our church. He does it all over the world. I actually just came into this by accident because God thrust me into it. Now, I believe every Christian should know how to do it because we're commanded to it, right? We're commanded, all of us, as the Great Commission. Now, that doesn't mean that you're called to do it. Does that make sense? So maybe there's an opportunity that arises and you just the Lord leads you and you have understanding and you help deliver someone, right, in a moment.
It doesn't mean that it becomes an avocation, but it's something
exactly,
that you
right?
do.
Versus maybe called a job. And I use that lightly because I think even though I work for God, I think anyone who's a Christian should consider themselves working for God. Everything you have is His. You're supposed to be glorifying His kingdom, building His kingdom through what He's called you to do, asked you to do, right?
That's the first part of my discussion with Robbie Walden, a pastor, friend of mine, deliverance pastor, the guy who runs Christ Fit in North Idaho, this donation-based CrossFit gym that brings people the Word of God who wouldn't otherwise hear it. I want you to hear part two as we really dig into the nuts and bolts of deliverance. Joining us on AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Next segment, we'll get to the personal notes as we wrap up the show and also the Tower Babbling. You're hearing part of a conversation I had with my friend Robbie Walden. There's a lot that Robbie and I share in common, a love for CrossFit. He's a CrossFit coach, successful weightlifter. We don't share in common serving the nation. He did that in the Army, wounded veteran. The gym he set up is called Christ Fit. And it's donation-based, and it's designed to bring people the Word of God because the gym is the hook, and they come in, and the gym is free if they don't have the money. And man, it has borne fruit and brought people to the Lord. He's also a deliverance pastor. And we talked about deliverance. You're going to hear Robbie talk about the nuts and bolts of this. I would love to hear what you think of deliverance ministries. And you can email me. Just go to thetoddhermanshow.com. You could watch this entire interview at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. This is me and Pastor Walden talking. You spoke about deliverance being a process of investigation. And what's that investigation like? Because, I mean, everything starts somewhere, mm-hmm. But what's that like?
Let me close something on that, but I think it's going to help people for a second. Okay. All right, and then we can answer this question. Right, someone that's an atheist, right? They would say, that's not my God. I'm not going to believe that. We're going to tell them like something along the lines of, okay, well, just because you don't believe him doesn't make it any less real. And you're still going to face him. We know that truth.
Yeah.
In that same vein, when it comes to certain things scripturally that maybe we don't want to believe, it doesn't make it any less true, right? Deliverance, for example, we can deny it, but it doesn't make it any less true. And you would never, ever get me to give the credit of deliverance to anyone else but God, or to deny the fact of what they are, because I believe the church is the way it is right now because the demonic, one of their greatest friends or allies against the Western church has been, in my opinion, is naive. A lack of understanding and quite frankly, unbelief. Romans 14:23 says, anything without faith is a sin. It is a sin to disbelieve a word of the words in the Word of God, including deliverance. And that's the reason why we are so under oppression and attachment in the Christian church in the Western world primarily. So,
okay. So, and that's a big topic. We should talk about the Western church and selective, not just enforcement, but belief and faith in God's word. So what's this investigation like? Someone comes to you, hey, I need to be delivered. You agree to go through this process. Run us through sort of a condensed version of what that's like.
So let me clarify. I do believe every Christian needs some form of deliverance.
You do?
I do. Yes. In fact, my wife and I, especially since we're in the battlefields of life in a different way than probably most, but we're all in the war. The Word of God is very clear. We're in a spiritual war. And you can't enter a war without being a casualty of it some way. Like if I drive my car across the country and back, I'm going to have to change the oil, right? For example, my wife and I, we do self-deliverance on each other from time to time. Because we now know what it feels like and what it is to live free of oppression and attachment with just a silent mind, right? And no fear and all those kind of things. Well, then when we start doing things like making sinful mistakes from time to time and coming into agreement with things, we notice the change when all of a sudden it goes from temptation, maybe something out here speaking and it's gone, to chatter in your head and things start coming. We now know the difference so well and so clear that I know when I have come into agreement with something, knowing or unknowing.
Coming into agreement with something demonic.
Mm-hmm. Witchcraft happens. The church is doing witchcraft all over the place. Manipulation is witchcraft. Rebellion is witchcraft. If you're rebelling your husband or your senior pastors and so forth, that's a form of witchcraft, right? That is in itself rebellion and manipulation, which is rooted in witchcraft, right? So now, again, there's different severities, all these things, right? So if someone came up to me and was like, hey, I want to be deliverance, my wife and I have kind of created new problems. There's sometimes I'll just know, and I just, because I also, I'm going to just say it. I see in the heavenlies. And what do I mean by that? I've been given the gift of discerning of spirits. So from time to time, I do now get to see demons. God shows me them when they're on people, not all the time. There are people that I have done deliverances on where I never saw it until we were in deliverance. So for whatever reason, God shows in his sovereignty, I wasn't to know. I've had, and my wife gets heavy empathy, a gift of empathy, where she can feel where they are. Because guys, when the spirit of heaviness, the word of God tells us, put on a garment of praise, that spirit is a demon, heaviness, right? And I don't know how many times we do deliverances and all of a sudden the person's standing taller, their skin gets flush and clear and looks healthy, and all of a sudden, bam, it's like clockwork every time. Like, yeah. I don't even want to say the stuff that happens afterwards where people are like, and what they the results are and what they say, because I don't want them to know. I want them to know they're just supposed to do it, so that way I didn't construct anything, if that makes sense, right?
So got that. You don't want to pre-program people. Yep. You want them to have their
right.
Natural God-given response to this. So if you and I were sitting here and mm-hmm. you were starting the process of deliverance yep. with me,
I would start asking questions. Because something I also want to determine, first off, do you truly need deliverance and why do you think so? And then second off, what I'm also looking within this is a few handful of things. First off, a person doesn't need deliverance, or at least an area of their life, if it's a heart issue, right? And a heart issue, we don't need to do a deliverance on that, and we need healing. So healing and deliverance are two different things, and oftentimes they think it's one and the same. And there can be some crossovers, right? Because curses happen and things like that, spirit of infirmity, for example. But when we are in our investigation process, let's just say all the signs, all right, we know we're supposed to do a deliverance. Because what I'm really looking for is, what's going on in your life? What is going on that doesn't line up with the word of God? So what lies are you living out, right? Anger, spirit of murder. Are you struggling with suicide, addiction, you name it, right? Fill in the blank. Adultery. And that's the thing, is like, even trauma happening, right? Abandonment, orphanage, right? If you didn't have a father, huge red flag, we'll call it. The other thing that God does is prophetically speaks to me in those moments. And people who have been delivered, and it's a lot, they would tell you these things, like, it's real. God will tell me things that I would never know, right? In the moment, the Holy Spirit directs me. And I say to him, I say, Holy Ghost, don't lie. Because some of the things I've been told, given visions and given descriptions, I would never know had it weren't for the work of the Lord working through me. Because then now they're like, how'd you know that?
I'm like, okay, the Lord. This has happened to me one time. Once, what you just described, mm-hmm. and I could not believe the light it brought to me.
Now, someone speaking to you, or are you?
Yeah, I was speaking to a young woman. I gave a speech at a place, and her friends, older friends, she's good parents, you know, but she wasn't. Things weren't good at home, so she was staying with some friends of mine, very good Christian people, nothing weird. And they'd asked me, hey, would you talk with her after the speech? She really likes your podcast. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Gosh, it'd be an honor. And she walked up to me and introduced herself. And Robbie, this is just came out of me. I looked at her, I go, church is scary, isn't it? She went, yes. And I said, sit with me. Church hurts. Yeah. How do you know this? Holy Spirit, I've never met you. And she mm-hmm. revealed a few more things to me.
Yeah.
And this girl's 19. She goes, how do you know these things? I go, I don't. It's the Holy Spirit. And one of the organizers came over because I was supposed to get back up on stage. And he says, hey, can you come over here? This is important. And I looked at him and go, brother, I'm here to tell you it's not. And I turned back and was talking to this young woman. And in that moment, God gave me the words to give to her so she might consider going back to church. She mm-hmm. is back.
Yep.
She's Amen. Active.
Yeah.
She's joined ministries. And I mean, Robbie, in 15 seconds, I knew.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. So yeah. You're saying that in the process of delivering people, sometimes the Holy Spirit delivers to you a detailed picture, and you say to a person, hey, have you ever been through the following trauma at a place and time and this happened, mm-hmm. you got to have people look at you going,
oh my gosh,
no one knows
like,
that.
Are you a peeping Tom? Like, right?
Yeah, right.
No, you're reading my mail essentially, right? What you experience, that's called the spirit of knowledge. So God gave you knowledge, insight into the person's life. Now, what I want with knowledge is wisdom, because wisdom now tells me, how do I apply this? How do I enter into the situation with this knowledge you've given me, Lord, so I can make a difference? Because like in with the flock, I know a lot about what's going on in people's lives, even though they don't always know that I know, right? Because God tells me, and it's not so I can be a jerk, or sometimes it's not even so I can say something to him. God doesn't even want me to release it. It's so I know, and now I can minister accordingly with grace and compassion and truth, right? And so now I take that, and wisdom applied to it is minister to the person in such a manner that they're not a hurt, right? That you take care of them more gently.
Okay.
And for example, and in kind of this vein, for example, in a deliverance, I'm just going to use it. A person that my wife and I were doing deliverance on, the Lord clearly in the middle of it tells me bestiality.
Wow.
Right? And I'm like, okay. And because I have these moments where I don't want, but I know the Lord's voice so well. I know when it's him that spoke, and he never lies. It's never wrong. My faith and trust in God is through the roof.
So you actually said to a person.
Oh, I came right out and said, look, I said, it's going to sound crazy, and I don't even want to say this, because I have to say some things that would be hurtful or offensive oftentimes if it weren't for the fact that they're true. Because God wants me to help heal. Right? I'm a minister of the gospel, and my job is to help apply the freedom that God has for this person and deliverance. But in order to do it, they would need to be willing and wanting to be delivered. They need to be already a Christian. They need to be ready to obey the word of God and give forgiveness and things like this and believe that it is for them, right? And there's some other parameters in that regard. But so I say this, and the person's like, they are just like floored, and they're like, how did you know that? And I was like, because Holy Ghost don't lie. I told you, the Lord tells me things, and I have to. And then the person said, okay, this that happened when they were younger, this thing, right? I don't want to go into details, but and they said when they were praying and talking with the Lord, like about this, getting the deliverance and needing it, and the Lord was, you know, putting on their heart or whatever was going on, the person said, and I am not talking about that. I will not talk about that. The only way, if I have to address that, Lord, you have to bring it up. Guess what he did? Brought it up.
Wow.
Because people are so unaware of what is actually holding them down, what is actually spiritually bringing them down. If the church was walking in the true freedom that God has for them from deliverance, because of the resources, in my opinion, and what the Western church has access to that others don't, we would have faith that actually moves mountains. Even though if you go to that, that's a whole other story. That doesn't actually mean it was a figure of speech in the Hebrew. But the things that the Western church would be able to accomplish in the Lord would glow through. My wife and I are able to live like the disciples. Literally, we don't have paychecks. And yet everything, we always say, never miss a meal, never miss a payment. And I believe it's because of the willingness, the level of obedience we've been willing to walk out, even when it doesn't make sense, and even when I don't understand. I don't understand everything about deliverance. I don't understand everything about the Word of God. But what I do know is it doesn't lie. And just as Moses was like, Lord, I'm not going to the promised land unless you're with me. He would rather stay in the desert for 40 years with God there than be in the promised land where it's supposed to be a blessing, but him not be there. I want to go wherever the Lord is. And if he tells me I'm supposed to go there, then I'll go there. And that's the thing, is what I have found is when I go where we're supposed to go, I get to meet the Lord. I have encounters with him.
So Robbie, one of the places you were called to go was CrossFit.
Yep.
And when that happened, I remember it started as a mobile gym, and then you got a location and you're banging it out there. It's donation based, so people can come in and donate rack rates. Like a decent CrossFit gym is $150 to maybe $200 a month. There's classes, etc. But you can also have people coming in who don't have the money, right? Now you're telling me you guys need a new location, you need new donors, so you need a new North Idaho location.
Yeah, we have almost 800 members.
Wow.
But we're only able to service about 3% of them. And we're just a small facility. We're 3,000 square feet, but we have a break room, we have office, two bathrooms, and then we have a physical therapist on site, a doctor of physical therapy, Elevate 208. Now he's separate of, but attached and a part of. He's also a part of my church.
Yeah.
And he has an office plus a second one. And then we have a kid section because he just hired a second physical therapist to work for them because they're just so busy. So we're really operating with about 1,200 square feet.
Wow.
So it's not a lot. And our classes range, one might have four all the way up to, you know, 15, 16 is, I'd say 10 or more is our average, especially on the 5:30 and the 3:30 class. But we've had classes with 29 people in there. You just can't move. Honestly, if I had my perfect way, it would just be six people a class with a bar because it's just tight quarters. We need a new location. We've had over 60 people led to Christ in the
led to Christ through the gym.
Yep, through the gym. And that's the thing is, even though I'm a deliverance pastor, my focus is the gospel, right? Salvation is the most important thing. Let me make this very, very, very clear. I am all about the Father's business, and salvation is the key to everything. Our goal is to unite the church, equip the saints, and reach the lost. Make Jesus famous, right? Sharing the gospel through exercise and events. And the result is we've probably got currently going close to 15 different churches represented in the region already going there. Pastors, senior pastors from other churches. Talking about deliverance, I've done deliverances on multiple pastors, senior pastors in this who didn't believe in it, didn't walk in it, came to me and asked for it. And now they're preaching it and bringing it into their church. Why? Because they realize they were wrong. They've repented for not believing, things like this. It's so real. So, but the real story here for the Christ Fit is we need a new location. I have a location a couple blocks down the road that we really want. I would really like to have that. I think it's the perfect next step size to really be able to bring in more of the public and especially the actual current base that we have. It's 6,500 square feet. Ideally, I'd love like 10,000, but so we need donors.
So how do people get to you so they can do that?
ChristFitGymCDA.org. Again, ChristFitGymCDA.org is where you can make donations through there. But ChristFitGymCDA.org, come in, check, so forth. Most of our donors are actually not even going to the gym. They just believe in what we're doing or they've experienced something through us. And so now they do it and you know, donate. And many people that wouldn't be able to have fitness otherwise now have fitness because we're really worried about everything, the whole package.
It was part of a conversation between myself and Robbie Walden, Pastor Walden out in North Idaho. I'd love to hear what you think about that and deliverance as a process and deliverance pastors and the whole discussion. Go to thetoddhermanshow.com and email me there. We'll come back with the Tire Babbling and wrap up the show with a person. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling in a second and wrap up the show with a personal note. I'd like to check in on some emails. Jeff writes us from Billings, Montana, listens to AFR.net. Dear Todd, I learned about you on America Family Radio through your podcast. You are a different person on radio than you're on podcasting. You sound more relaxed. I'm wondering if you could explain that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you're plenty relaxed in your studio. I enjoy watching you. I think it's great that you've had God build that studio for you in the video clips you play, but you seem a little bit uptight in comparison to the way you are on radio. So maybe you could explain that, and it might just be my eyes and ears. Love the show. Love both of them. So Jeff, I guess, that's a little bit weird that you notice that you don't know me. And I don't mean to say, you know, oh, you don't know me. I like radio better than podcasting. It's a very unnatural thing for me to be looking at cameras. And we've got three cameras in the studio and, you know, people who know what they're doing with cameras say, hey, don't worry about what camera to look at. Forget the red dots. Just talk. But there's something deeply weird about that to me. Now, I guess because I grew up talking on the phone, that talking on radio is very much like talking on the phone. In fact, right now, you know, when I do my podcast, if you've ever seen the podcast, by the way, you can go watch all of our podcasts at youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. But for the most part, my microphone sits in front of me on a desk and I don't really move it around. Right now, I'm in the same studio, but my microphone's in my hand and I'm leaning back and I'm looking at the walls and I'm gesticulating. So I guess you're right, Jeff. I probably am more natural in this setting. And thank you for noticing that, I guess. I hope that doesn't mean the podcast is bad. It's just maybe it's a different type of natural. Let's say it that way. Tina writes from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dear Todd, I listen to you on AFR and I never try to miss a show. I have a question about what happened to your daughter. You continue to talk about her time in treatment. You've said it's 13 months, and I think you said it was $50,000 a month. But it's almost like you're teasing us by not giving us the details about what happened to her. Is there a time that you're going to be willing to give us the details, or maybe it's something that she needs to do? I'm sorry if I'm asking a personal question. It's just that you're so personal with us, but in this one, you seem just to be hiding something. And I'll pray for your daughter and pray for your family. So Tina, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Tina, I can't. I can tell you that she suffered a great harm, and it's nothing she deserved. And it screwed her up for a while. It changed who she was for a while. Satan used it. So it is her story to tell. What I can tell you and will communicate to you is teen changes are natural. What, as parents, we're always told, hey, buckle up. Teen years are going to be tough. Here's what's not natural. In our case, it was a girl going from someone who loved animals deeply, who always had a heart for them, who would really kind of go overboard in crying when there was a dead animal on the side of the street, really kind of annoying overboard, almost inappropriately sad, to laughing. That happened to her. We were driving the skating one night and there was a dead cat. I thought, oh, here we go. It's just going to be really upsetting for her. And she said, oh, look at the cat. It's so funny the way it's spread all over. And I said, what? You cry about cats. She goes, no, it's funny. My daughter was putting on a mask. And it happened so quickly that I conned myself into saying, well, this is just adolescent stuff. And then the next mask was she'd gone from very successful, very social athlete to someone who wanted nothing to do with athletics. And she wanted to be goth. And then that wasn't she wanted to be goth anymore. She wanted to hang out with kids who were losers. That's what she said. I want to be, she went through a phase where she was popular. No, that's not right. I didn't get that right. She wanted to be goth and then a loser. And the next year she said, I'm going to join the popular kids. And she studied how do you be popular, and she made it. She made it into the popular kids. And one day she looked at them and said, these people are terrible people. And that's where she went back to the what she called losers. So my wife and I were watching this going, what's happening? Satan was using the harm to her. What he was saying to her is, you can't be yourself. You can't be soft. You can't express this love for animals. You can't have a kind heart. You can't be creative and artistic. You have to be something else. So that, Tina, was the result of what happened. I'm just cautioning parents to look for those things. Mask wearing is never the sign of health. It's always a defense mechanism. Last note here, Don from Nashville, Tennessee. Dear Todd, when you are on AFR, I encourage you to stop following your show. What do you call it? The thing that tells you what to say. There's been many times where you've shared with us that you're going to depart from whatever that plan is and simply speak what God's telling you to speak. Please do that more often. I've noticed that when this happens, the show flows. I find my heart filled. I feel like I'm being filled by the Holy Spirit. So please make that happen more often. Love the show. Don from Nashville, Tennessee. Don, you're very observant. There are, in fact, times where God speaks into the show. And what you're talking about is called the show sheet or the rundown. So all this is, it's a Google document that me and Randy share. It shows Randy what sound bites are available and that Alex is polled. Alex is pre-production. Randy does show production. And it's we follow through the show, and I have these cues. So if I'm going to play a piece of audio, there's a cue for that audio. So when I read that cue, Randy knows that that audio is to be played at that point. Otherwise, I'd have to say, play clip number one or clip number two. And Don, I would love it if God would steal the show. Not there's a song, right? Come and steal my show. It's from that movie where the girl's the guitar player. Come and steal my show. I wish God would do that more often. Honestly, I would be completely happy if every time I opened the mic, the Holy Spirit said, nope, do this. Because I got to tell you something. It's like doing the show, but watching it get done. And the things that God says are so much better than the things I say. You can write to me at thetoddhermanshow.com. That's thetoddhermanshow.com. And you can check out the video stuff we talked about earlier at youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouty questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about 3 times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
3 sound bites in the Tower of Babbling, beginning with the deeply corrupt and deeply cynical senator from New York, Chuck Schumer, lying about January 6th.
In just accordance with your prayer, we remember all of those who were hurt, even lost their lives as a result of what happened on January 6th, 24 years ago, 2021, and pray for them and their...
He's referencing police officers, apparently. Merrick Garland, once again, the paper bully, absolutely, absolutely corrupt. So-called attorney general, once again, said 5 police officers were killed. That never happened. Brian Sidnick sadly died the next day from a stroke. It was not connected, and the medical examiner said the same thing, not connected to anything to do with the protests. Ashley Babbitt was shot in the head, an unarmed white woman shot by a black cop, who, by the way, is an absolutely corrupt cop and incompetent, Michael Byrd. Rosanna Boylan was killed in a tunnel. The feds told us she died of an overdose of pills she'd been taking most of her adult life. Well, she was also beaten with a metal pole and a wooden post by officers. So you might want to add Rosanna Boylan to the list of people who were killed on January 6th. Next up in the Tower Babbling. This is a British member of parliament talking about something that Britain simply will not do.
Let us just ask you quickly. You have to choose now between Davos or Westminster.
Davos.
Why?
Because Westminster is too constrained. And, you know, it's closed and we're not having meaning. Once you get out of Westminster, whether it's Davos or anywhere else, you actually engage with people that you can see working with in the future. Westminster is just a tribal shouting place.
So why this is in the Tower of Babbling is this. That happens to be not just, that's not a member of parliament, that's actually the British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer. And what he's saying there is he prefers Davos. He's the same guy who just said about Elon Musk, the British government will not be told what to do by foreign billionaires. Davos is foreign billionaires who told England, Britain to shut down because of the COVID flu. Brussels, the European Union, is peopled by billionaires who told Britain, open up your borders, take a whole bunch of illegal immigrants and do it now. They did that. The links and depths of hypocrisy of these people know no bounds. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is a continuing look we've been looking at. It comes from our friends at Protestia.com. You just heard from the founder and publisher of Protestia.com in the last segment. This comes from one of the participants in the Upside Down Kingdom Study Bible, the NIV version. They're talking here about the Apostle John.
When every tribe and tongue and nation.
In 7 especially. It shows up a couple different times where you have people from every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and they're around the throne of God worshiping. And there are moments when I think to myself, based on John, based on, you know, his Jewish background, when he sees people of every kindred, tribe, and tongue, does he think that, like, lighter-skinned people, like, do they have leprosy?
Where in the world did that man pull that from? What exactly is the evidence that the Apostle Paul thought any such thing? There doesn't need to be, because false teachers don't need evidence. They need feelings and lies. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Hey, on a personal note tonight, it's always, always, always a difficult thing to adjust your expectations for your kids. It is. And we were talking because, was it Tina who wrote to us? It was from Fort Lauderdale, Tina. Tina wrote to us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, asking me to be more open about what happened to her daughter to have resulted in her being sent to treatment for 13 months. It was $30,000 to $35,000 a month. Thank God it wasn't 50. It was bad enough at 30 to 35. And I can't, because it's her story to tell, and I pray one day she will. But it meant we needed to adjust some expectations. Now, this is very, very difficult, because our daughter is, God has gifted her intellectually, creatively. Unfortunately, because I gave into pharma and allowed my daughter to be put on all these pills. My wife has heroically worked to take her off these pills. Praise God. This is her first full week without any pharma in her life since she was 14 or 15. Yeah, 14, really. And we had to adjust her expectations because of the trauma she went through. You know what I found myself doing? The world. Friends would say to me, how's your daughter? I would say, she's better in many, many ways. How's your kids? Oh, they're thriving. They're absolutely thriving. Our son just graduated college and he's on to the military, and our daughter is now working as an intern at an architectural firm. They're thriving. And I remember feeling sad and regretful and worried. And now I feel shame. You know what's happened to our daughter in this period of time? She studied God's word. She chose to be rebaptized. She was sprinkled with water when she was a little baby. She's read the great women of the Bible. She wants to investigate deliverance ministries. For her boyfriend, who I think she wants to marry, and I wouldn't be bothered if they did marry, she gave him a locket, saying, it is not good that man is alone, so God made a special helper for him. I could go back to those friends and say, so how are your kids doing? Oh, remember, my daughter was an intern at an architectural firm. She's now a vice president. Oh, no. I meant, how's her walk with the Lord? I won't do that because I know the answer. She doesn't have one. I was thinking in the way of the world rather than the view of the kingdom view. I need to think more that way. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God says we can speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this is Ben of Disciples View.